If we have the Lord's special mercy, we will be visiting Shri Radha Govinda Dev Mandir, Shri Radha Gopinath Mandir, Shri Radha Raman Mandir, Shri Radha Gokulananda Mandir, Gopeshwar Mahadev Mandir, and Bamsi Vat. I'll speak something briefly that might help us to understand the significance of these places and deepen our appreciation and our devotion when we go to worship the Lord. Sri Rupa Goswami came to Vrindavan as the humble servant of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He made the Lord's order his life and soul. He had written magnificent literature, the richest treasures of all literatures in the entire world. He had excavated many holy places of pilgrimage. But his heart was feeling great sorrow, because there was a particular instruction that he was just not able to fulfill. Such an incredible quality. If we do one out of thousands of things we should do, we become proud. He did thousands of things, and he endeavored with his life and his very soul, but he was unable to fulfill a particular instruction. According to the Vaishnava scriptures, the predominating deity installed by Vajranab in this entire sector of Braj Bhumi is Sri Radha Govinda Dev. He could not find Radha Govindaji. He searched in temples, in Brijabasi's homes, all over Braj Bhumi. But there was not even an indication or a clue where Radha Govindaji can be. One day he sat on the bank of Yamuna, feeling this sadness in his heart. A small Brijabasi approached him and asked, "Why do you look so sad?" He looked at this Brijabasi child and was very much enchanted by his demeanor, by his characteristics, by his incredible beauty. He felt complete trust in this little child. So Rupa Goswami poured out his heart and explained how, "I cannot fathom the whereabouts of Govinda Dev." And the boy smiled and said, "Do not be sad. Let your anxiety go away, because I know where Govinda Dev is residing. Close by, there is a hill. It is called Gomatil." He said, "At this Gomatil, there is a cow. People do not know, but this is a Surabhi cow. She comes every day to the top of that hill and lets down her milk. At that very spot under the ground, Govinda Dev is waiting for you. Come, I'll show you." And the little boy took Rupa Goswami by the hand and brought him to Gomata Teel. And right before Rupa Goswami's eyes was a beautiful Sarabi cow, just letting profuse milk down onto the ground. The boy disappeared. When the child disappeared, Rupa Goswami could understand within his heart of hearts that that was Govinda himself. Krishna appeared to me. And I am so ignorant, I am so fallen, I did not even recognize my Lord when He came before me. I did not offer Him any respect, I did not offer Him any worship. Rupa Goswami fell unconscious. And then He came back to consciousness. And He was thinking, I have to put aside all of these feelings. The Lord has given me an instruction, I must carry it out. So he called some local Brijabasis and told them that Govindadev is living under the ground here. So they brought their digging instruments, many of them, and soon hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people were gathered because everyone had so much faith and so much love for Rupa Goswami. Divine voice spoke from the sky. It was Lord Balaram who explained to the Brijabasis exactly where to dig and gave his profuse blessings upon them to reveal Govindaji to the world. Then they dug into the ground, and in a short time they uncovered the munificent, all-beautiful form of Sri Govindadev. When everyone looked upon him, they were struck with wonder. The deity was millions of times more beautiful than Kandarpa, the Lord of Love. Attracted everyone's hearts. Soon thousands and thousands and thousands of Brijabasis came to see the beauty of Govindadev. And everyone was crying out, Govindadev ki! Govindadev ki! Govindadev ki! And they made a small temple for him. The Brijabasis came and offered everything to feed Govindaji. And thus, Rupa Goswami's desire was fulfilled. When Rupa Goswami first began the puja of Govindadev, demigods like Lord Brahma disguised themselves as human beings to come to the earth to make their offerings to Sri Govinda. He had a simple temple. Rupa Goswami was so happy that he immediately wrote a letter to Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri to explain that he had found Govindaji. One day in the Gambira, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was sitting talking to his devotees, and he said, I have not heard anything from Rupa Sanatan Goswami in a long time. I wonder why. And right when he said that, a messenger came in who walked all the way from Vrindavan and said, Oh Lord, I have a message from Rupa Goswami. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu read this letter, Rupa Goswami was sharing his joy that Govindadev is now once again manifest to deliver the material world with his all-attractive mercy. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy. He rejoiced. In a private place, he called one of his two personal servants, Govinda, and the others, Kashishwar Pandit. He called Kashishwar Pandit, who was personally engaging in the Lord's service for many, many years. And he told Kashishwar that Rupa Goswami has found Govindadev. I want you to go there and assist him in the worship. Kashishwar Pandit could not refuse because the Lord's will was his life and soul. But in doing so, he would lose the opportunity to be with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally and directly every day. So he began to cry. Yes, I will do what you say, but how will I survive without you? Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had a deity made and personally gave that deity to Kashishwar Pandit and told him, this is a deity of me. Whenever you worship this deity, you will see me and you will feel my presence. It's a small deity of Krishna. Name of that deity, Gaur Govinda. Kashishwar Pandit brought Gaur Govinda Dev to Vrindavan, and just on the right side of Govinda Dev, he placed that deity and spent the rest of his life here in Vrindavan serving Sri Gaur Govinda and Sri Govinda Dev. In fact, not far from Govindaji Temple is 64 samadhis of great Gaudiya Vaishnav saints. And amongst them, one of the primary samadhis is that of Kashishwar Pandit, the personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and servant of Rupa Goswami and Radha Govinda. We will go to Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. Oh, back to Govinda. Raghunath Bhat Goswami, son of Tapan Mishra. He personally served Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri for about 8 or 9 months. And Lord Chaitanya instructed him to go to Vrindavan and live with this amongst as one of the 6 Goswamis, which he did. In the spirit of the servant, Raghunath Bhat Goswami assisted Rupa Goswami in his service to Radha Govinda Dev. He had made for him a beautiful flute and earrings shaped like sharks. Raghunath Bhat Goswami could sing the Srimad Bhagavatam verses with a sweet voice like a cuckoo that would melt anyone's heart, and he would sing in many different melodies, and he was an excellent cook. So he would cook for Govinda Dev and sing the Bhagavatam for the Goswamis, and thus became intimate associate of the great Goswamis of Vrindavan. He had a disciple. Actually, Raghunath Bhat Goswami had many, many disciples. But one of them was a general in the army of the Emperor Akbar. His name was Raj Man Singh. And to please his guru, Raghunath Bhat Goswami, Raj Man Singh built the Govindaji Temple, the most magnificent artistic masterpiece of architecture in all of North India. At one time it was 7 stories high. But the grandson of Akbar, Aurangzeb, he had a very demoniac mentality. He was uncontrollably envious of the opulence of the Govindaji temple. So he dismantled the top 4 stories and left 3, and in many ways defaced and tried to disturb the rest. Govindaji temple was built so solid, it would just be too difficult for him to tear it all down. Krishna just didn't allow him to do it. But of course, before Aurangzeb came, we know the story of how the devotees sent many of the principal deities to Jaipur to be protected by one of the descendants of Raj Man Singh, Raj Jai Singh, who was a great Vaishnava. We will also be going to Radha Gopinath Temple. Sri Radha Gopinath, one of the deities carved by Vajranab, was found by a great Vaishnava named Paramananda Bhattacharya right at the Bamsibha tree. Sriman Rasada Sarami Bamsibhata Tatastita Karashandena Svanaya Gopir Gopinatha Sriyesvina. Gopinath played his flute and attracted the hearts of all the gopis when he under Bamsibha tree. So it was right there at the Bamsibha tree that Gopinath revealed himself after being lost from the vision of the world for many centuries. Paramananda Bhattacharya entrusted him under the care of one of the greatest of the Vaishnavas, Srila Madhu Pandit Goswami. Madhu Pandit was directly an intimate disciple of Gadadhar Pandit, the incarnation of Srimati Radharani in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. And he worshipped Gopinath with such deep love and devotion. Gopinath was his life and his soul. Neither of these deities, including Madan Mohan, appeared with Srimati Radharani visible. The devotees understand that Srimati Radharani is the empress of the heart of Govinda, Gopida, and Madan Mohan. So therefore, the Goswamis would worship Srimati Radharani, the supreme object of all their veneration, within the heart of the deity. In this way they worship Radha Govinda, Radha Madan Mohan, and Radha Gopina. The son of King Prataparudra in Jagannath Puri, his name was Purushottam Jana. He felt that there shall, so that people could actually visually see Radharani. The Goswamis, they are seeing Radharani in the heart of Gopinath. But so that people could see, Gopinath will be very pleased if we install deities of Radharani. So he decided that he would send deities of Radharani for both Madan Mohan and Radhago and Govindaji. Beautiful deities of Sri Radhika. From all the way in Utkala, Jagannath Puri, he sent an entourage of people with guards and Brahmins and pujaris to bring Srimati Radharani to Vrindavan. And when these two Radharani deities arrived in Vrindavan, the whole of Vrindavan was having festivals to welcome them. Now Govindaji and Madan Mohan will have Sri Radhika at their left side. So much festival, singing, dancing. The pujari of Madan Mohan temple had a dream. Srimati Radharani appeared to him and told him that this Purushottam Jana, he doesn't understand the reality. And neither does all these people who brought me to Vrindavan. Actually, one of these deities is me, the smaller one. But the larger of the deities is Lalita Sakhi. So you should install both of them at your Madan Mohan temple. I will be on your left side, and Lalita Devi will be on your right side. So this pujari had such a pure heart, everyone had complete faith in him. So when he revealed this dream to the Vrijavasis and all the Goswamis, they all accepted. And there was a glorious festival installing on the right and left side of Sri Madan Mohanji, Radharani and Lalita Sakhi. When the news came to Purushottam Jana, he was very happy. But still, he wanted Govindaji to have Radharani also standing beside him. But what to do? He was praying, deeply in his heart, he was praying to have the blessing of offering this service to Govindadev. He had a dream. Srimati Radharani appeared to him. And she told him that in the Jagannath temple in Puri, where you are the king, I'm living. But nobody knows it. There is a deity there that for generations has been worshipped as Lakshmi. But actually, that's not Lakshmi. That's me, Srimad Radharani. And then the story was revealed. Long ago, in South India, actually in Orissa, Utkal. Actually, no, South India. It was in South India. Long ago in South India, there was a village called Radha Nagar. And there was a very simple, pure-hearted Brahmin whose name was Brihadbhanu. And he had a deity of Srimati Radharani. It is explained in Bhakti Ratnakar that this deity of Radharani actually came from Vrindavan just to be worshipped by the pure, loving devotee, Brihadbhanu. He loved her just like a daughter, but millions of times over. He worshipped her with so intimate, sweet love. No one in the entire world could understand the sweetness and intimacy of his love for his deity. He had so much attachment that even if a minute or two went by when he wasn't seeing Srimati Radharani, when he wasn't serving Srimati Radharani, he would become immersed in uncontrollable separation. He worshipped her with pure love. He became very old. He had no family. When he passed away from this world to return to Goloka Vrindavan, there was no one to take care of the deity. At that time, the king of Puri heard the glories of this Brihadbhanu and heard the glories of the beauty of this deity of Sri Radhika. So he went all the way down just to see her. And when he saw the condition that there was no one to take care of her, he didn't know what to do. Then Srimati Radharani appeared in his dream and said, "No one's taking care of me. Bring me to Puri and worship me in Jagannath's temple." So the king brought Srimati Radharani and she was worshipped as Srimati Radharani in Jagannath temple. But as generations and generations and generations went by, somehow or other people began to believe that it was Lakshmi. But now it was revealed to Purushottam Jana, the king. So with a beautiful entourage, he sent Srimati Radharani to Vrindavan, where she was installed on the left side of Govindaji. Sri Radha Govinda Dev Ki! I was talking about Gopinath. So Gopinath was being worshipped by Madhu Pandit with great love and devotion. And Janava Devi, after the Khetri festival for Gaur Purnima, that Srinivasacharya, Shamananda Goswami and Narottam Das Thakur arranged, she came to Vrindavan with many of her intimate associates. That's a beautiful story. She traveled throughout the land of Vrindavan, but one of the very special features of her visit, and in her motherly love, she went to each of the temples of the Goswamis and would cook for the deities and offer gifts to the deities. Whatever she had, she would just utilize it to bring ornaments and cloths from Bengal to offer to Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan Mohan, Radha Raman, and Radha Vinod. Just before she left Vrindavan, she went to all these sacred temples to offer her love and devotion and beg permission to depart. She was at Radha Gopinath temple. And she saw that Gopinath did have a deity of Radharani. But she was thinking that Gopinath's so big and Radharani's so small, they don't match. But then she was thinking, who am I to say how they should match? So she did not say a single word to anyone. She just thought that way. And then the aarti started, and after aarti she went back to her place that was arranged by Sri Jiva Goswami. That night, Gopinath, in the form of the deity, appeared to Janava Devi and spoke. Said, Janava Devi, what you were thinking is correct. Radharani is too small for me. You should have another deity made of Srimati Radharani that is harmonious with my size. And you should put her on the left, and this little Radharani deity you can put on my right side. And then Radharani appeared, the little deity. And Srimati Radharani in that little deity form spoke. She said, whatever my beloved Gopinath has said is correct. That is exactly what I feel and I wish for you to do. Please do it. So she returned to Bengal and ultimately came to her home in Kardaha and searched out for one of the greatest devotees who is an expert sculptor. His name was Nayana. And she instructed him to make the deity of Srimati Radharani. In fact, Janava Devi herself personally designed the deity. Now, Janava Devi is Ananga Manjari. She is Radharani's little sister. She organized and oversaw the making of the deity. When Radharani Murti was complete, then Janava Devi bought a boat. And she made nice accommodations and put Gopinath on the boat. And on the boat with Gopinath, many of the greatest associates of Nityananda Prabhu went for this tour, including Parameshwar, who was one of the eight Gopals, eight principal cowherd boy associates of Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Parameshwari Thakur. Janava Devi gave him 700 gold coins and also gave beautiful silks and ornaments for all the deities in Vrindavan. And as the boat was about to depart from Kardaha on the banks of the Ganga to sail all the way to Vrindavan, Janava Devi offered a prayer. She prayed to Gopinath in Vrindavan. O Gopinath, I pray, please let your Srimati Radharani have a very quick and easy journey to Vrindavan to be united with you without any difficulties. And with this prayer, the deity began her journey. She wrote a letter to Srinivasacharya, Narottam Das Thakur, and others that after the boat stops in Navadweep for a day, it will stop for a day in Katwa. Narottam Das Thakur, Ramchandra Kaviraj, Gokulananda, King Virambir, Srinivasacharya, they all assembled with all of their disciples in Katwa to greet Srimati Radharani when she arrived on the Ganges. And Parameshwari was bringing each one in to give them darshan, and they were giving gifts and making offerings. And when they saw the beauty of Sri Radhika, they were overwhelmed. So she came to Vrindavan and was installed beside Gopinath Dev. Sri Radha Gopinath ki jai. Not long after this, Janava Devi came for her again to Vrindavan. And with great eagerness, she went to Sri Gopinath Mandir and worshipped his loving form along with Srimati Radharani. And our acharyas declare that when she left this world, Janava Devi, who is a Nanga Mandri, entered into the deity, the small deity of Srimati Radharani. And she is today worshipped as Janava, Ananga Mantri. We will visit Radharaman Temple. Of course, if I keep talking, we won't be able to visit any temples. Should I continue another day? Sri Radharaman, we can speak for so too much time on Radharaman Temple. Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he was the son of Venkata Bhatt. Small boy, living in Sri Rangam in South India, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and stayed 4 months in his house. And little Gopal Bhatt was given personal servant, personal service to Lord Chaitanya for 4 months as a child. And one day the little boy was weeping and crying. Why did I have to live when I'm living? Why couldn't I see Lord Chaitanya as Navadweep Chandra with his beautiful flowing hair, as the husband of Vishnu Priya, enjoying Sankirtan, enjoying beautiful opulences in Navadweep? Why am I seeing him only as a sannyasi who won't accept any luxuries or any opulences? He was weeping and crying. And when he was in a secluded place, he had a vision where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him in his beautiful sannyas form. And then he manifested the form of Navadweep Chandra, dancing with his devotees in the streets of Navadweep right in front of Gopal Bhatt's eyes in South India. He was seeing Navadweep. He was seeing Navadweep Chandra. He was seeing the Sankirtan of the devotees at Srivasangam and in the streets of Nadia. And then again the Lord became sannyasi. Gopal Bhatta, when he awoke, actually in the dream, the Lord even embraced him and spoke to him. When he woke, he ran to Lord Chaitanya and understood, realized the mercy of the Lord. Lord Chaitanya told him to remain home and serve his parents, who were pure devotees, as long as they lived. When Venkatabhat and his wife passed away and went back home to Goloka Vrindavan, Gopal Bhatt Goswami, who was initiated by Prabodhananda Saraswati, his uncle, came to Vrindavan. And when he arrived, Rupa and Sanatan, who already had heard so much about him from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they wrote a letter to Lord Chaitanya, who was in Puri. He said, "Your Gopal Bhatta has now come according to your wish, and now we are living together as brothers." Sri Chaitanya was so happy. When he got this message, he sent, with a messenger from Jagannath Puri to Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he sent the Mahaprasad of the seat that he would sit on, and also his chadar and a kopan. And those gifts are still there at Radharaman Temple. But they're not shown in public. You have to know the pujaris to see them. So Gopal Bhatt Goswami, he had 12 Shalagram Shilas that he worshipped with great care and attention. A very wealthy Vaishnav came to Vrindavan and was giving clothes and ornaments for the Goswami's deities. Radha Govinda was dressed so nicely, and Radha Gopinath and Radha Damodar, all these deities were dressed so very nicely. But he only had little Shalagram Shilas. So on the day of Lord Narasingha's appearance, he prayed to Lord Narasingadeva. He prayed to Krishna, actually. He prayed to Krishna. He said, "Oh Krishna, on this day of Narasingha Chaturdasi, you have appeared from a pillar of stone with your transcendental form. Please appear before me so that I can worship you and offer you these beautiful gifts with love." The next day, he went to Yamuna to take his bath, and when he came back to perform his puja, he saw there were 11 Shalagram Shilas, but his Damodar Shila had manifested the most beautiful form of Krishna in his Tribhanga Roop, playing his flute. This deity had such beautiful meticulously fine lotus-like eyes and lips and his fingers and his even little teeth in his mouth, and how his body was curved so sweetly. Gopal Bhatta became ecstatic. He was a self-manifesting deity. Just a little part of the Shalagram Shila that was his origin is still on his back. So Gopal Bhatta called Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami and Lokanath Goswami and Raghunath Bhatt Goswami. They all came running to the place to see this miracle right there at the Nidubhan section where Radha and Krishna perform their most confidential pastimes. This deity appeared. And all the Goswamis gave him the name Radharaman. Because he appeared in Nidubhan, the place where Krishna gives such sweet pleasure to Srimati Radharani, he was given that name. Sri Radharaman ki jai. Radharaman was the life and soul of Gopal Bhatt Goswami. But then one day when he was worshipping Sri Radharaman, he was feeling guilty in his heart. He had not seen Lord Chaitanya in so many years, since he was a small child in Sri Rangam. But Lord Chaitanya gave him the order to serve his father. And on his father's last breath, before chanting the holy name of the Lord, he instructed his little son, who is now grown up actually, he instructed Gopal Bhatta to always worship the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So now, 24 hours a day, I am serving the deity of Radharaman. But my father ordered me to serve Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So one day when he was doing his puja, right before his eyes, and this was not a dream, right before his eyes, the deity of Radharaman manifested. The all-merciful form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with a beautiful golden complexion, dancing in Harinam Sankirtan and blessing, giving his full blessings to Gopal Bhatt Goswami. He saw this. And then right before his eyes, Lord Gauranga again transformed into Sri Radharaman. Lord Chaitanya wanted to establish in Gopal Bhatta's heart that there is no difference between himself and Sri Radharaman. And he is perfectly fulfilling his father's wish by simply offering his love to Sri Radharaman. Radharaman ki ki. I'll only speak for a few more minutes. Lokanath Goswami was from Navadvip, son of Padmanabh Chakravarti. He was a very, very dear friend of Lord Chaitanya, one of his most loving devotees. One day Lord Chaitanya called Lokanath Goswami and told him that you should go to Vrindavan, because very soon I'm going to take sannyas, and you will not be able to bear seeing me without my hair. So you should go to Vrindavan, and after I accept the renounced order of life, I will come to Vrindavan, and I will meet with you there. You could make all arrangements for me. Lokanath Goswami was heartbroken to hear this, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Gauranga, is going to take sannyas? And he's going to have to suffer separation? He was accustomed to being with Gauranga Mahaprabhu every day. But we must see the Lord and the spiritual master through the instruction that we're given. So, Lokanath Goswami took the dust of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet and went to every Vaishnava in Navadvip amongst the associates of the Lord and worshipped and prayed for the blessings of all of them and took the dust of their feet. And then went to Vrindavan. But we know the story. Lord Chaitanya's intention was to go to Vrindavan right from Katva, but Nityananda Prabhu redirected his course to Shantipur, and then from Shantipur to Puri, and then from Puri Lord Chaitanya went to South India. Lokanath Goswami heard Lord Chaitanya is going to South India. He's not coming to Vrindavan. What is the use of this Vrindavan? So he walked all the way to South India. When he got to South India, he found out Lord Chaitanya had already been traveling through South India for 2 years. He's returned to Puri. So then Lokanath Swami went all the way to Puri. And when he was in the outskirts of Puri, he heard that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has gone to Vrindavan. So he went all the way back to Vrindavan. And when he arrived in Vrindavan Dham, he got the news. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was here for 2 months. He was looking for you. He's already left and gone to Prayag. He was about to leave the next morning. But that night, Lord Chaitanya appeared to him in a dream and told him, I'm always with you. Do not leave Vrindavan. Stay here always throughout your life. Soon Rupa and Sanatan Goswamis will come to join you. So he remained on the Lord's order. He traveled through the 12 forests of Vrindavan and ultimately came to the forest of Kadiravan. According to our schedule, we are going to visit Kadiravan after Prabhupada's disappearance day. So please don't go away if you want to see Kadiravan. In Kadiravan, there is a village called Umrao near Chatravan. And there was a beautiful kund called Kishori Kund. Bhugarbha Goswami resided there. Lokanath Goswami resided there. Totally immersed in solitary bhajan. They were not concerned with any material considerations in life, simply immersed in chanting the holy names and meditating on Krishna's leelas and Krishna's service. But in Lokanath Goswami's heart, a very deep desire awakened to worship a deity. Now the Lord is within the heart of a devotee. So one day, a person appeared to be a Brahmin. He just walked right up to Lokanath Goswami, who was just sitting on the banks of Kishori Kund in seclusion, just chanting the holy names. And this Brahmin just gave him something and walked away. In fact, disappeared. And Lokanath Goswami looked, and it was a deity. It was a deity. And Lokanath Goswami was completely bewildered. Who is this Brahmin? Who is this deity? He didn't know what to do. And then the deity spoke to him. He said, "My name is Radha Vinod. And I knew your heart. And without the help of anyone else, I have come to you." In other words, the Lord actually expanded himself as that Brahmin to give himself to Lokanath Goswami. When Lokanath Goswami heard that, then he was a humble devotee. He was more astonished. He just stood there and wept and cried. And then the Lord said, "I'm hungry. Give me some bhoga." So Lokanath Goswami just went out and started picking some roots and some other, begging for some grains. And he cooked a nice feast and offered it to Radha Vinod. And after offering, he made a flower bed for the deity and laid him in the bed. And then he massaged the deity's feet and legs and made beautiful garlands with his own hands for the deities. And made a little fan out of peacock feathers and started, and other fans made out of leaves, and was fanning the deities. But there was no home, and he had nothing. So he begged for some cloth, and with his own loving hands he sewed a little bag. And that was the temple of Radha Vinod. He carried Radha Vinod around his neck in a little bag and took him out and worshipped him with great love and devotion. And the local people of Umrao, they wanted to make a temple for him. He said, no need. I'm happy because I'm always traveling as a Goswami. What do I need? But when Rupa and Sanatan came to Vrindavan, they invited Lokanath Goswami to live with them. So he came to Vrindavan, and a temple was established here. Sometime later, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur came to Vrindavan. There's so much that could be said about Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. He came some generations later. Narottam Das Thakur had a disciple named Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, he had a disciple that he loved as his own son. He had one daughter, but no sons. So this one boy, his whole life, he loved him like his own son. And he became his disciple. His name was Krishna Charan Chakravarti. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, who was born in Devagram, he was a student of Krishna Charan Chakravarti. But at that time he was very old. So Krishna Charan Chakravarti asked his principal disciple, Radharaman Chakravarti, to initiate Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, which he did. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, with his guru's blessings, came to Vrindavan. He was such an extraordinary Vaishnava. It is described, when he would sit, this was in Bengal, when he would sit and read the Bhagavatam, even in the blazing sun of the summer, there was always shade over his head. At one time, a king, a great Maharaj, was coming by in a palanquin, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur would be so immersed in reading the Bhagavatam that he just didn't even know the material world existed. There was a torrential monsoon rainstorm, and the king is going through all kinds of problems, you know, with his palanquin and getting shelter and people carrying him. And he looked, and there's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur just sitting in a field reading the Bhagavatam, and everywhere's flooding with torrents of rain, and not even a single drop was touching him. So the king came down and surrendered his life to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. That is absorption in the Bhagavatam. He came to Vrindavan, and as such a great acharya, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur established the faith in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. Vrindavan was practically in shambles emotionally because of Aurangzeb and so many other conquerors who just tortured and killed and broke deities and destroyed temples. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, so fearless, so learned, and so pure, he renovated the whole of Vrindavan and created an entire renaissance here of love and faith and excitement based on the pure high teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. One day a brahmachari who had a deity named Gokulananda, the deity appeared to him in a dream and told him that I want to be worshipped by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Please bring me to him. So the brahmachari went to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and said that, please take care of this deity, Thakurji Seva, please take care. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, I don't have anything, I'm a renunciate. What can I use to worship the deity? I'm not qualified. The brahmachari begged him, but he said, no, how can I take such a responsibility? I have no such qualification, and I have no means. So the brahmachari went back, and then Gokulananda appeared to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur and told him in a dream that it is my desire that you worship me. And simultaneously he appeared to the brahmachari and said, go back and give me to him. And the brahmachari said, how can I do that? He's already refused. He said, he will not refuse anymore. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in the very place of Radha Vinod, the temple of Lokanath Goswami, spent so many years of his life worshipping Sri Radha Gokulananda and established a wonderful temple there. In that temple is also the deity of Lord Chaitanya that was worshipped by one of the deities of Lord Chaitanya, personally worshipped by Narottam Das Thakur. And also the great Gaudiya Vaishnav Vedantacharya Baladev Vidyabhushan, his deity of Vijay Govinda, is in Radha Gokulananda Thakur. and also Shalagram Shila that Lord Chaitanya personally gave with his own fingerprint in the Shila to Sri Raghunath Das Goswami. So these are some of the places you will go, providing I end here. We'll also go to Gopeshwar Mahadev and Bamsibat, but we will discuss that another time. Thank you very much.